Right, home from work. Walk the dog. Kids are back.
Mom!
Up the stairs for something. Ugh, back down. No idea what I went up for.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Chop. Sizzle. Done. HelloFresh can't slow life down, but it makes bringing everyone together around the table a whole lot easier. So it's phones down, forks up. HelloFresh. Bring back dinner time. Hello.
Tomorrow is Eid al-Adha. Across the world, Muslim families will put on their best clothes, they'll hold their children's hands and walk into mosques and open fields and community centers. They'll pray, they'll sacrifice, they'll feed the hungry. They will call their mothers and grandmothers and their cousins in countries far away and say Eid Mubarak. They will do what Muslims have done for over 1400 years. And in this country, they will do all of that while knowing that some of their neighbors think their faith is a bloody, demonic cult. Those are not my words. That is a real comment left on a real post about a real attack on real people who were praying.
When the guy kicked the door, all of them were crying. I heard like a bunch of bad stuff, like gunshots. And plus, I went inside the closet with my whole class. We heard like 12 or like 16 gunshots. And then the SWAT team said, FBI, open up. And they opened the door and they went inside. They told us to put our hands up and form a big...
Welcome to Immigrantly. I am your host, Sadia Khan. For over 5 years, this podcast has been a space for authentic immigrant stories. Stories that don't get cleaned up for mainstream consumption. Stories told in full. Today's episode is a solo one. And it is one of those stories. It's mine. It's about what it means to raise a family, build a life, and practice a faith in a country that has quietly and not so quietly decided that you're something to be feared. I wrote my main thoughts for this episode after the San Diego mosque attack, and I'm sharing it now because silence has never protected us. And honestly, I am so tired pretending it might. I want to start with my daughter. She's an adult now. But I want to take you back to when she was in sixth grade, still figuring out who she was, still in that tender space where the world is just beginning to show its edges. A classmate called her Queen of Taliban. Now look, he probably didn't even know what it meant. He had likely heard it somewhere at home, on a screen, in the background noise of a culture that had quietly decided it was acceptable to reduce a young girl's entire identity to a slur. He just repeated it. Because that's what happens when hate goes unchecked long enough. It trickles down until it lands on a child's face in the form of tears she doesn't really fully understand. But as a mom, I still see those tears. She didn't know what Taliban meant, but she knew the way kids always know that it wasn't good. Her only fault was being born to parents who grew up in Pakistan. There was another time. I was in the emergency room, excruciating stomach pain. The kind where you're just trying to breathe through it. I still remember that day. Just trying to hold on. And the nurse, upon realizing I was Muslim, began asking me whether I had been forced to wear hijab. Now remember, I've never worn hijab in my life. Whether I had been allowed to go to school in Pakistan. And between those labored breaths, I felt compelled to correct her because in this country, being Muslim means you're always one interaction away from becoming somebody else's teaching moment, whether you consent to it or not. That is a specific kind of exhaustion, listeners, that I don't know how to fully describe to people who've never felt it. It's not just the incident itself, right? It's the knowing that this is just another Tuesday, that there will always be a longer list of such incidents. So last week, I posted a reel about the San Diego mosque attack, a place of worship, people in prayer, children present, and the very first comment I read on that reel called Islam a, and I quote, bloody demonic cult. I want you to sit with that for a moment. It wasn't surprising to me at all. I see this language every day, the mockery, the dehumanization, the reduction of a faith practiced by 2 billion people on this earth. Mothers and fathers and grandparents and children, people who have never hurt anyone, people who wake up, feed their neighbors, pray for peace, reduced in 3 words to something so sinister, something other, something that deserves what it gets. And let's be honest, this kind of language is not an accident. It's institutionalized in America. It's a strategy. Because here's what I know to be true. You cannot justify violence against a people you still see as humans. Dehumanization is not the byproduct of hate. It is the prerequisite. First, you strip the humanity. Then you strip the rights. Then you act shocked when somebody decides to walk into a mosque with a weapon. We've seen this playbook before. We will see it again. And we keep pretending we don't know how we got here. So let me tell you about the religion I practice. Islam is egalitarian at its core. It asks us to value human life, all of it, without exception. It asks us to give from our wealth to those who have less, to care for our guests, to respect our elders, to practice patience, real patience, not the kind that's easy, to check our ego, to remain humble, to be honest, to show up. And like every religion that has ever existed, yes, Islam has been weaponized for political ends. I won't pretend otherwise. But it is neither better nor worse than any other faith. And the people calling it a bloody cult are not actually afraid of a religion. They are afraid of a people they've been deliberately, systematically trained to see as the enemy, as foreign, threatening, and less deserving of safety, as less deserving of life. So the way I see it, Islam is not the problem. Unchecked, normalized, profitable, propagandized hate. That is the problem. And now we will run the cycle again. The condolences, our hearts go out to the Instagram reels calling it horrific, the politicians who will stand at a podium and declare that hate has no place in America and then return to their donors, their Islamophobic commentators, their applause lines built on deciding who counts as a good Muslim and who doesn't. Research shows that anti-Muslim hate crimes spike after high-profile political rhetoric. And the people amplifying that rhetoric, the media figures, the politicians, the commentators, they have faced zero consequences. Because accountability doesn't serve America's broader political and imperial interests. So yeah, we will mourn. And then we will be expected to move on. And then it will happen again. And yes, tomorrow is Eid al-Adha, the festival of sacrifice. We mark it in memory of Prophet Abraham, or Ibrahim as we call him. A man asked to give up the thing he loved most, who showed up anyway, who kept faith in the face of the incomprehensible, whose stories about surrender and trust and the belief that even in the darkest moment, something greater is holding you. I think about my daughter getting ready for Eid tomorrow morning. She's an adult now. She gets to decide for herself what this faith means to her, what this country means to her. And I think about what it means to stand beside her as she prays, knowing that the same country that will wish her Eid Mubarak is the one that let a classmate call her Queen of Taliban when she was a kid, that allows people to comment bloody demonic cult without consequence, that allows politicians to profit from that language, and that allowed someone to walk into a mosque while people were praying. And still, we'll go, we'll dress in our finest, we'll hold our children's hands, we'll pray, we'll sacrifice, we'll feed those who are hungry, we'll call our mothers and fathers across oceans, and we will say Eid Mubarak. And guess what? We will mean it. Because, sure, the hate is real. But what our faith does is more real. Because we've always had to carry both the weight of being seen as less and the grace of knowing exactly who we are. So when my daughter asks me someday, why didn't anyone stop it before it became this? I won't have a clean answer. Because we saw it coming, we documented it, we begged for accountability, we asked over and over and over again for the people with power to take this seriously, and they decided it wasn't worth stopping. So tonight, on the eve of Eid, I'm asking you, whoever you are, wherever you're listening from, don't let this be the background noise of your life. Don't let bloody demonic cult be a comment you scroll past. Don't let a shooting at a mosque be something you feel bad about for a day and forget by the weekend. And as a Muslim, I can tell you this. We're not asking for your pity. We are asking you give a damn. Eid Mubarak to all celebrating. Hey everyone, this is Sadia Khan, the host of Immigrantly Podcast, and I have a special favor to ask. Please subscribe to our channel on Apple Podcasts. It's called Immigrantly Uninterrupted. You can subscribe for as low as $34.99 for the entire year, or $3.99 a month. Sure, you'll get ad-free episodes, but this isn't really about skipping ads, guys. Independent media is getting squeezed, and anything to do with immigrant identity, you know what I'm talking about. Sponsors are hesitant. Sponsorships have slowed, especially for small mission-driven organizations like ours. So here's what we have decided. Instead of chasing brands or reshaping our voice to fit somebody else's agenda, we are choosing something different. We are choosing you. If Immigrantly has ever made you feel seen, challenged your thinking, or expanded the narrative around identity and belonging, this is how we keep it that way. Independent, unfiltered, and listener-powered. So please consider subscribing to Immigrantly Uninterrupted and help us build this on our terms. You can find the link in our show note. This episode was produced and written by me, Sadia Khan. The editorial review is done by Shay Yu. Our sound designer and editor is Lou Raskin. Immigrantly's theme music is by Simon Hutchinson. Other music by Epidemic Sound. Come back next week for a very important interview that I did a week ago. Until then, take care. And if this episode moved you, share it. That's how these stories travel. And don't forget to be kind to others.